Working remotely can be a challenge, especially for teams that are new to it. How do you deal with your work environment being the same as home while staying productive? At a time when teams must come together more than ever to solve big challenges, Trello's here to help. Trello, part of Atlassian's collaborative suite, has been powering remote teams globally for almost a decade. Trello keeps everyone on the same page, helping teams communicate, focus, and connect. Try Trello for free and learn more at Trello.com. That's Trello.com.
You're listening to The Nick Handley Show, weekdays 2 to 6 on AM 590 ESPN Omaha and on the ESPN app.
Just a bit outside.
Stop Bears.
And it was, I mean, it was basketball. It was about basketball.
What a doofus.
That broadcast school has really paid off.
Settle down just a little bit.
What is going on?
I don't know. How are you doing?
It's another Thursday here on the Nick Handley Show, and another day that we all say, hey, what could have been today? As I talk to you alongside with TJ Henning, who I am learning has no shortage of NBA jerseys and opted to go with the NBA jersey despite the fact that today should have been opening day, TJ. I'm decked out in my Chief Wahoo Cleveland Indians hat. I got the Cleveland Indians sweatshirt on today. This is exactly what I would have been wearing today regardless, but I most likely would have been trying to find a way to enjoy the Cleveland Indians season opener. And as we are kind of doing throughout the country right now, as Major League Baseball fans are still sporting their team colors and team gear, I'm doing the same thing. TJ is opting to be a Brooklyn Nets fan today. Gosh, how many jerseys do you have?
Well, no. So this started last week when I wore a Kevin Garnett Boston Celtics jersey, green jersey, for St. Patrick's Day. Then I thought it was just a strange time, so why don't I keep things strange? And now I have worn 9 straight Kevin Garnett items to work.
Okay, so it's more of a Kevin Garnett
thing. Yeah, since that streak will come to an end today, I have run out of Kevin Garnett items, although I could wear... No, I don't have those at my apartment, but back at my parents' house, I have Kevin Garnett basketball shoes from when I was younger. But but yeah, since there was no actual Major League Baseball today, I didn't think of wearing Royal stuff because there is no games. But when and where there will be a sense of normalcy, I will wear the Royals when normal day, when opening day does happen. But I will finish tomorrow off with a retro Allen Iverson Denver Nuggets jersey.
Dave Tolleson would be so proud of you right now. Like, you guys should compare your collection.
Well, should I start doing the Fu Manchu like he's got going on?
I know,
right now?
He's got the creepy trucker stash right now.
Ooh, baby.
He's got like the Bull Hurley from Over the Top. Great movie, by the way. Hey, I know you're a fan of Simmons and Russillo.
Yep.
In The Ringer, they do that Rewatchables podcast. Did you see what they're rewatching?
Karate Kid.
Karate Kid, baby. I'm going to listen to that one. I've listened to a few of them. Their Rewatchable on The Town was really good. It was really funny. But yeah, it's actually kind of an entertaining podcast. I'll have to check that out. But yeah, I saw they're doing The Karate Kid. Hopefully they'll bring up Bobby and my new theory on Bobby.
That'd be crazy if they did.
If they do, and I'm telling you.
That's already been pre-taped.
Yeah, and I haven't heard this. So it was just released today. So that would be pretty cool. Number to the show, 402-573-0590. DJ's Dugout inbox open for you at NickESPN590 on Twitter. And we're going to get to a topic pretty much throughout the day that you can chime in on. So I was listening to another sports talk show that I frequently listen to in Chicago, being a big Chicago sports fan other than baseball. And they were talking about, they got into the conversation of what their favorite sporting events are, like ranking them in order, whether it's like the time of the year or just sporting events overall. Now, this particular radio host said the Kentucky Derby is his third favorite, which, no, that's way down my list. In fact, it's not on my list because I don't do anything for the Kentucky Derby. TJ, one year I think I placed a $25 bet. One year. And I took, like, very low odds. So, you know, you got to make that money grow. You go into it expecting to lose the money. I don't do the, you know, the big traditional celebrations. I know our friends over at Horseman's Park do a really awesome party for that weekend and that day, and they've got the, you know, the hat contest for the ladies, mint juleps, all of the traditional things you'd get at the Kentucky Derby. But for me, from all of the things that I like in sports, that's way down there. Today is in my top five, opening day. It's in my top five. Number one, and you and I have talked about this, and I think we agree on this. Number one is without question, and I don't even think it's even close, in my opinion, is day one and two of the NCAA tournament, which we would have been experiencing a week ago. Exactly a week ago.
Yeah, and I'll extend that for me Thursday through Sunday.
Okay.
But I agree. Those first 2 days are better than Saturday, Sunday, but yeah.
Well, it's because they're weekdays, too, so you have an excuse to get out of work. Even when we've been doing shows, it's like we're not even doing a show. Like, we're watching the games, and we're, oh, yeah, hey, by the way, this happened. Oh, yeah, I'm on the air. I forgot. I mean, that's... It's the easiest sports talk radio in the world is when I actually have to do a show during the NCAA tournament. But I love it. It's a chance to get together with your friends, your family. I know that everybody has so many different traditions. A lot of people I know go to Vegas and go to the sports book there. Now that you have at least some local areas and our friends over across the river in Iowa where you could do legalized sports gambling, new traditions I'm sure we're probably going to be formed this year, with a lot of states in the country that now have the legalized gambling opportunities. But that is number one. And I'm not even a big gambler. I just love, absolutely love that day and those days. Second for me would be the start of college football. That first Saturday, it's just, it's full of so much. And within all of the teams that you're kind of curious on seeing, you do get at least three or four really good matchups. You know, preseason top 25 matchups, notable programs going head-to-head, whether it's that sometimes that Thursday when you kick things off, Saturday you're going to maybe one or two, whatever the primetime game is, and even on Sunday or Monday during Labor Day weekend. It's a fantastic weekend. It gets everything kicked off. I love it. Number three for me, I'm staying in football. And that is that opening night of football, the Thursday night of football. I don't even care who the teams are. Now, and I know sometimes your interest is probably a little bit more.
In college or pro, you say?
In pro. Okay. So number two would be the opening day, the first full-fledged day of college football, that Saturday. Really that whole weekend, but that Saturday alone. And then number three would be the Thursday night opener in the NFL. And I say, I don't really care which teams. Now, last year, it was my Chicago Bears taking on the Green Bay Packers. Didn't like the result, but it was awesome. But regardless of who's playing, even if you have fantasy football interests or not, it marks the beginning of the NFL season. And to me, I love it. It's great. And then you get into that weekend of college football on Saturday, then the full slate of NFL games that Sunday. Absolutely love it. Number four for me would be today, would be opening day. And usually I try to get together with a friend or two. I got a couple buddies that are Indians fans. Our buddy Mike Schaefer is an Indians fan. I got my guy over at Brickway, Mitchell, the brewer over there. He's a huge Indians fan. We try to get together more than we actually have. It's, you know, kind of failed. We're going to do it this year, and of course this happens. But that day and really that first week where you get a chance to see your team, even if your team is not playing good in that first week, everything is just open and everybody has hope. And it's just, I mean, all the traditions, again, the whole father-son tradition of, you know, leaving work early, taking your son out to the ball game or taking your daughter to the ball game, family traditions. Again, it comes down to sort of that traditional thing. So that would be number four on my list. Number five, probably the Super Bowl. I'd have to say the Super Bowl is probably number five. And then I go into Stanley Cup playoffs, MLB playoffs. You know, I kind of go down the list. But very passionate about the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament. Oh, and then don't forget Masters. I got to put the Masters in there. In fact, the Masters probably ties the Super Bowl to me, unless the Bears are involved, which that's only happened twice in my lifetime. The Masters, See, I used to be just a Sunday Masters guy or Sunday just golf major guy. Now, in the last probably 8 years, I'm all about, let's get this thing going. I can't wait to start watching Thursday as much as I can. Watching it on Saturday. Usually watching the U.S. Open while I'm tailgating at the College World Series on Saturdays. Love that. So, yeah, I would say that's also in my top five. So, beyond the NCAA tournament, TJ, what's yours?
Yeah, and kind of sounding to your list, I'm going to try to keep it specific to, like, your favorite sporting days. So, like, number one would be that first day, opening day NCAA tournament. Then I agree with you. Second, I would have the first full college football Saturday of the year. Third, I think I'm going to go Christmas Day NBA because there's a lot of great games that day. Yeah. And if you need to get away from the family, you can sneak off and go watch some great games. I think then fourth, I would go opening day because you have that hope of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a Royals fan, you just, the season's not going to be great, but you're just like, oh, maybe if we hit a couple balls this way, this might break our way.
Most likely you're rolling your guy out there on the mound too. You can't wait to see him go. Yeah.
And then I would say maybe fifth is kind of a tie between like the Masters Sunday and because this draft can be done in one day, it would be the NBA draft.
See, and you mentioned the NBA draft. I'll even say the NFL draft. Now, the last couple of years for me, the NFL draft day one hasn't been as exciting for me as a fan because the Bears have not had a first-round draft pick. But like I said, last year, I just watched a lot of Khalil Mack highlights because that's what they gave the first round up for. But, so I'd love to hear from you. I mean, today is one of those days that I think a lot of people kind of mark either in their top five or top 10 as far as one of their favorite days in all of sports. We had it again last week, or, you know, on Thursday, that I feel like a lot of people, and see, I feel more confident that people would list the first or second day, probably the first day just because it officially kicks off, of the NCAA tournament. I feel like a lot of people would have that either at number one or number two. Now, Major League Baseball, some people probably don't care as much, but it's kind of interesting that we've now had back-to-back Thursdays of, in my opinion, two of arguably the best sports days that we typically see. And we are left wondering what it would have looked like during this whole time, which is, it's disappointing, but it is what it is. So your favorite sporting events in order. Hit me up on the DJ's Dugout Inbox, Twitter, at NickESPN590. You can also email the show, Nick at AM590ESPNRadio.com. Got a lot coming up for you today on the show. Speaking of Major League Baseball, Scott Van Pelt talked with Rob Manfred. Lots of things that were covered. We'll get to that in the 3 o'clock hour. We're also going to be talking to Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald right around 2:30. Nebraska senior center fielder Joe Acker will be on the show at 3:30. Speaking of the Huskers, going to talk to voice of Nebraska, Greg Sharp, in the 4 o'clock hour. And get this, coming up at 5:15, former head coach and one of the great defensive coordinators, Wade Phillips, will be jumping on the show right at 5:15. He's got a really cool book out there, too, that we're going to be discussing as well. And again, your phone calls, always welcome, 402-573-0590. We'll get into some more of the baseball conversation. Sam McEwen just around the corner as we continue. AM 590 ESPN Omaha. All right, TJ, what do we got up on the Twitter poll right now? On the DJ's Dugout Inbox, what do we got?
Yeah, I just posted this on our Twitter account. What is your favorite day in sports? The four ones you can vote for right now are the first day of the NCAA tournament, opening day Major League Baseball, the first college football Saturday, or Masters Sunday. If it's not one of those four, what else would you suggest?
You got our votes right now. We're both going with the NCAA tournament. You know, I know you're not a huge golf fan as far as watching every tour event. I went from majors only to now a lot of the notable tour events, especially during the hot season. You know, basically from the Masters all the way to the end of July to the PGA Championship. Like, to me, I like to watch everything sort of in between as much as I can. Now, I'm not watching it every day from start to finish, but for you, someone who does enjoy the Masters, if it were to happen in the fall, let's say October, right there smack dab in the middle of football season, would you still give it a glance, at least on that Sunday?
Yeah, I think I would. And I'm trying to remember when I was listening to Jack Nicklaus talk about the Masters. It's only open for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's closed, honestly, from like May to September.
Yeah, because of the, I mean, the conditions get so, it just gets brutally hot there.
So I guess then by the time they could have it would be October. But man, all of a sudden we have playoff baseball, college football, NFL football, then the Masters. I mean, it would be down in my pecking order because usually the only time I do watch golf is Sundays of a major. And so, yeah, that would be lower on my list, although I'd still probably check it out if it's a close race between guys battling out on that Sunday.
So, yeah, that's kind of where the Masters is looking right now. We will tell you about another event, kind of a niche sport, too, that is going to be making a move with one of their big events. We'll get into in the 3 o'clock hour more on Major League Baseball. And just there's a lot of attention paid on Major League Baseball today because we were supposed to have everything rolled out. It was going to be great. You know, the thing I really liked about the Thursday as opposed to the full day on Monday is Thursday, you are kind of on the backswing of the week. And so you maybe don't feel as guilty staying up late and watching some games, getting together with your friends. You're not starting the work week. You're kind of ending the work week. So I like that idea. So I am kind of bummed it didn't happen. And I've told you many times on the show that I'm not a fan of opening night in Major League Baseball and then having the full day the following day. Like, I want to see it all get underway in the same day. All the teams that you can. And then, of course, if you didn't play on that opening day, you play on the following day. So you have that opportunity to do it either Thursday or Friday. By the time we get to the weekend, everybody has at least one game under their belt. Well, I should say, they hopefully do, because sometimes you do get some delays with the weather. I understand that. But at least everybody is scheduled for at the very least one game before you get into the weekend.
So without currently having live sports in our lives right now, Nick, do you find yourself when you wake up not knowing what day it is? Because I've had that happen to me multiple times. It seems like now, since without sports, without those usual rhythms, like I woke up today and like, wait, what day is today? And I kept thinking we're one day ahead, but I was like, well, if tonight was Thursday, just a couple weeks ago, I'd been like, okay, it's TNT Thursdays, NBA.
Yeah.
Or tonight would have been the start of the Sweet 16 opening day. But now without sports, I'm just like, I wake up and they're like, wait, what's going on today? And I realize, oh, nothing. But then like, what day is it? Like,
no, it's funny you say that, because yesterday I even noticed, I think it was like in the 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock hour when we came right out of the top of the hour break. I said, on your Wednesday, and I had to think about it for a second. I'm like, wait, it is Wednesday, right? Because usually I can tell if I've misspoken, your head usually pops right up on the other side of the glass. Like, oh, nope, that ain't right. And so I had validation without even fully feeling confident, because your head did not perk up like, no, you idiot. It's Tuesday. So it hasn't happened as much. But, yeah, in a way, I have not been as confident when I'm talking about specific day. And you're right. It's because a lot of our trained behavior in the sports world is usually based on that. And especially think about right now. I'm not trying to belabor the point of, oh, we don't have the NCAA tournament going on. Oh, we don't have opening day going on. I mean, because it's kind of depressing to think about. But this time of the year is when you can really sort of pinpoint everything every day around the events that are going on. And I know this was a sort of a new thing with Major League Baseball, so it's not like every Thursday, the same day as, you know, resuming the NCAA tournament, the Sweet 16, Major League Baseball also is having opening day. No, that's not usually the case. But we would have known at the very least, all right, it's Thursday because we are going to see some Sweet 16 matchups. And we don't have that. So, yeah, I think it's a valid point because of how much of our week is sort of pointed right at this event compared to the next event.
I mean, if I had heard this when I woke up this morning, I think I might have halfway believed LeBron James that it was Tuesday.
I was telling my wife this last night, and she had a pretty good response to it. I said, is it me now? So she's been working at home for the last 2 weeks. And so she's always been kind of jealous that I've been able to leave the house and take like a 15-minute drive to and from work. So I asked her, because I felt like, and maybe it was just me because I've been going to work every day as opposed to working from home. I said, does it feel like the weeks have been going by quicker, though? And she didn't really say, yeah, it does. But what she had said made sense. And that is, well, it seems that way probably because we got nothing to really look forward to on the weekends anymore. You know, I mean, it's not like you have these great activities of, oh, yeah, we're going to get out and hang out with our friends. We're going to have dinner together. We're going to go to the bar. We're going to go watch this or we're going to watch that. You don't really have that. I mean, you're trying to be creative on your weekends on how you can still do the social distancing thing, but still be productive and still be, again, going, not even social distancing, but as Jay Glazer put it best, physical distancing, where you can still have some kind of social gathering. You know, whether we were doing a Zoom session last night with my in-laws, talking to my brother-in-law and his wife, my sister-in-law out in Chicago, and then my other brother-in-law in Chicago, and then my mother and father-in-law here in Omaha. We were all on Zoom, and it was amazing. Like, to me, I thought, oh, yeah, we'll probably be talking for, I don't know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. It was like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it went by so quickly.
Yeah, I did the same thing last night with my girlfriend. We FaceTimed her family. And that lasts about half an hour. And then I FaceTimed my buddy who just turned 30 yesterday. And we talked for like an hour. And he's in Tucson. And yeah. It's like, well, yeah, what are you guys doing during quarantine? What are you doing to keep yourself occupied?
Well, then we had a couple new additions in the basement that we were, you know, taking the computer and showing everybody around. And then my brother and sister-in-law were showing us that they're expecting. And so they're due in May. And so they were showing, they were showing like the crib and, you know, the baby room. And so, yeah, I mean, it was amazing how much, you know, and I was having a beer while we're talking. It was like we were, you know, all hanging out. It was something that I didn't realize that I would enjoy. But knowing that, yeah, you might do that on the weekend, it's not like, oh, man, only three more days, only three more sleeps until we can have our next Zoom session. I mean, you're not really, it's not a big planned event. And so I think my wife is right. When you don't have either that game, like you and I would be, oh, yeah, Saturday, man, we got, you know, Elite Eight games going on. Can't wait to watch that. Going to get together with the guys. Whatever you might be doing, if there is something planned for the weekend, it does make it feel like mentally that the week is dragging or it's going by a lot slower. If there's one good thing that's coming out of this right now when it comes to just our everyday social life is I feel, maybe I'm wrong, and you could weigh in on this too, I feel like the week itself is going by a lot quicker. That's just kind of personally how, because I was thinking about that last night. I'm like, gosh, it's already Thursday tomorrow. Holy cow.
Yeah, I'm not sure
you're
I can get there yet.
You're going to disagree with me, aren't you?
I don't know. In a way, I feel like you're right, but in another way, I'm like, I feel like this is starting to drag on a little bit. So again, we got a Twitter poll out right now, AM590 ESPN Omaha. What is your favorite day in sports? Right now, it's a dead even lock between first day of NCAA tournaments and the first college football Saturday at 36.5% vote. Oh, and then a deadlock between tie for third here, opening day, Major League Baseball, Masters Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yuri tweets at us, specifically first Husker game, but love college football and is about the only sport I watch with definite regularity.
Yep. And if you're someone who is all about either opening night in the NFL or that first full Sunday of games in the NFL, you can suggest that. You got the write-in option there as well. Go to AM590 ESPN Radio. That's Twitter at AM590 ESPN Radio. I want to go quickly to the DJ's dugout inbox. This is on email, nick@am590espnradio.com. This is some good advice. This comes from Don. He said, here in Columbus, Spectrum is giving up Showtime and Epix channels free till April 19th. Had no notice, but people might want to check their local pay channels and see if the same applies to other cable companies. So about that, maybe getting a little bit more of a free trial. And I remember when I used to have actual cable and I had DirecTV before we did the old cord cutting, I know that they would sometimes, you know, like whether it's HBO would give you a free month or Showtime would give you a free month. They would do that. But I do wonder, and kind of to Don's point, if some of the paid channel providers are saying, or not providers, but the paid channels are saying, you know what, let's roll out our product during this time because we know a lot of people are watching. Let's extend what would be the normal free month to see if, you know, when things maybe get back on a little bit more of the reg, and some of these people will really like our programming. Think of it from a business sense. It's not a bad idea, really. Yeah. But it also, early on, you think, thank you guys for doing that. We appreciate that. You're giving us more options. I'm sure there is definitely a motive is what I'm trying to say. As far as, all right, so you liked it, right? You liked our programming. We gave it to you for a while for free, right?
Keep coming.
Yeah. Things are starting to get back to normal, right? How about you come and actually subscribe? I want to say this, though. I appreciate a lot of the different publications, and if it's certain channels are doing this, because we need other things that we can do, obviously. But to say that all of these companies are not expecting at least some kind of uptick in subscriptions when all is said and done, you'd be a bit naive if you think they're just doing this out of the kindness of their heart. Now, I mentioned The Athletic was giving you a 90-day free trial, which is unheard of. And that's great because think about 90 days. I mean, that will get you into really the early part of a lot of the college football conversation, NFL training camps, if they start on time. So, yeah, I mean, there's some good stuff there. All right, we're going to continue the conversation with Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald. He joins us next. Hey, don't forget to check out AM590ESPNRadio.com for all things coronavirus-related, its impact, important numbers to know, information to know. We're going to be talking to Phil Rooney tomorrow from the Douglas County Health Department, our weekly chat with him. And also coming up in just about 30 minutes, going to be talking to Adrian Pyle of Creighton Cares. She is a Creighton medical student. They've got a supply drive coming up at the end of the month on how you can help. So some good information coming up here in just about 30 minutes. Time to welcome in Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald. And Sam, we were just discussing, and it's funny, last week when we talked, said, we should have been getting ready for the NCAA tournament. Today, Major League Baseball opening day. And it got me thinking of some of the great sports days and what people's favorites are. I'm curious, what is like your top two days in sports? If you didn't have to write about it or work, if you could just enjoy as a fan, what are like the top two or three sports days for you?
As a kid, it was New Year's Day football. Yes. There was about seven games on that day. Mm-hmm. Now today, these days are five. And it's still way up there for me. I would love it if I would prefer it was a playoff day. So I would prefer it were, the Capital One Bowl and the Outback Bowl. And then whatever the third one is, I can't remember off the top of my head at this moment. And then the, Cotton Bowl or whatever. And then you have the two, like the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, but New Year's Day. I mean, that's way up there. And then I would probably say the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament are fun from a TV watching perspective, because you're probably going to see an upset or two. You're probably going to see at least two buzzer beaters. It's the day that you seem to care about your bracket the most, mm-hmm. even though it has the least amount of impact on whether
right.
you're going to win.
I know.
So probably those 2 days. I'm a big golf fan, but it's just sort of been a thing with my family where the Sunday of the U.S. Open is more important because it's Father's Day. And so I like the Masters more as a tournament, but the U.S. Open Sunday is always – we always kind of get together. I have brothers and my dad. We kind of get together and watch that. And so some years that's a compelling tournament. Some years it's a train wreck, but that's always sort of a fun day as well. But I love the Masters. I mean, the Masters is awesome.
Are you cool with, we were discussing this too, that if the Masters happens, likely it happens in the fall or in October. And, I know you might not get the same kind of following on that Sunday unless, say, Tiger Woods is involved with that leaderboard. But as far as the Thursday and Friday, I still think you get a lot of interest in it, even though you do have football going on and most likely Major League Baseball postseason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually think, the Masters will be wildly popular in the fall just because people will be, itching to see it. The course will be probably in its very best shape.
Yeah.
I don't think it's in its best shape in April. I think it's in its very best shape probably in October or whenever they close it. Maybe late, I don't know when it is, late September, early October. So It'll probably be in its best shape then, so it'll probably look really pretty. And I can't wait for that. I would be really surprised if we had any majors this year, maybe with the exception of the British and the Masters. The PGA is real soon, like mm-hmm. it's in May or something. They could play that without fans. U.S. Open, I don't think you can do it because the U.S. Open is set up a certain way, and it's qualifying and all this other stuff, and there's amateurs that get in, and I don't think they can stage that because it requires too many parts of the country, and I think you're just not going to see a U.S. Open this year, or it'll be an invite only, which wouldn't be fair because that's not what the point of it is.
Right.
So I think it's probably just going to be the British Open, maybe. I can't remember where that's being played. I think it's being played in Ireland, and then the Masters. So just it'll be a truncated calendar this year for golf, I think.
Sam McEwen joining us from the Omaha World-Herald. Sam had a chance to hear from Scott Frost this week, and you know, I got into this conversation after listening to some of the audio clips on Sports Nightly when talking about some of the other folks involved with strength and conditioning. And you know, I got to thinking, you know, we talk so much about how the coaches are having to be a little bit more creative when it comes to recruiting when you can't have visitors. But as far as the real challenge that Zach Duvall, strength and conditioning entire staff has to try to personalize workouts for the limited access that all these student athletes have, like to me, and it's not just a Nebraska thing, I get that, but for just college football players alone, that's going to be very interesting to see how they're able to kind of pull that off.
It will. It's going to be challenging for all the strength coaches because these are perhaps the hardest working people that you don't really pay attention to. Strength coaches don't really have to recruit. I mean, they do on campus recruiting when people come in, but you know, so they don't have to do all the travel and stuff. But they work so hard. I mean, this is their livelihood is really built. I mean, they hang their hat on January through, you know, August. I mean, that's when they take over and they kind of build your team and build the culture and all that. So this has got to be killing a guy like Zach Duvall, who, you know, loves this time of year. And this is his time. This is when he gets to be a scientist and a motivator and all these other things and isn't able to do that. So it's going to be hard on him. Let me say this, that is these athletes at this point are coming off of winter conditions. So they were in really, really good shape going into spring. Almost every college football player in America was in really good shape. I mean, it's not like they all ate, you know, chips and, right. and steak and, you know, candy all winter. They don't do that anymore. Maybe 25 years ago or 30 years ago they did. They don't do that. So these guys all came off of winter conditioning. They're probably in really good shape. A lot of them did not get through spring camp. I think Purdue probably got the furthest of the Big Ten. Central Michigan actually finished their spring camp or got darn near finishing it, but most teams didn't get that far into it, so their bodies probably didn't get that broken down by camp.
Mm-hmm.
There were no injuries. I mean, nobody got hurt because Nebraska barely had any camp. I think if there was a time, they're going to be stressed out anyway, but they sent the kids home in good shape. Like the kids went home healthy, and probably at a pretty darn good weight. Like they put on good weight. Now, are they going to maybe have a little bit of bad weight or be a little bit out of shape when they come back? Yeah, but this isn't 40 years ago. These kids kind of know what to do, and I suspect it's going to be better than we anticipate. I know a lot of people have freaked out about that, but just remember the kind of shape they were in as they started spring camp. Probably the best shape they've been in all year. Their body recuperated from the season. They hadn't been beaten up by spring. I mean, is Adrian Martinez going to come back if they have camp in June and be healthier than he is now? Yeah, he is. So I don't think it's the end of the world there. I think now if this thing gets into July and you don't have a training camp, then it gets a little hard because then you're not getting in football game shape. They need practices to build up to that sort of competitor level of toughness and physicality and stamina and all that. But if they can get people back in June, and they can get an OTA or whatever the hell they want to call it, and then they can get a training camp that's somewhat similar to what they've had in the past, I think they can be okay. Most college football programs will be all right. I think the question now is, how much does the virus spread? How much of an impact is? And here's one thing to watch. I think this is really important to pay attention to. There are going to be programs in the Big Ten where the virus has been contained by the time that we begin discussing this.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be Rutgers.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen there. Now, it's possible that what's happening in Rutgers or in New Jersey right now washes out of New York State, New Jersey now, and what is there now hit Ohio in a month. I don't anticipate that being the case, because I think social distancing has probably widened the gap a little bit, and the density of population in New York, New Jersey has made that a worse place. But that'll be worth watching, because there's going to be – the Big Ten is so big that there's going to be states that are disproportionately affected by this virus and states that weren't as affected nearly as much, especially Nebraska.
Yeah.
And the question is going to become, does the Big Ten have a uniform approach to how they deal with this issue? Or are they going to say, look, Rutgers, we'll make you financially whole, but we're not canceling the football season because, you know, things in New York are still dicey.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys can do it, that's great. If you can't, that's okay. We'll make you financially whole. Do what you have to do. We're sorry. We're not going to cancel the entire college football season because Rutgers might not be able to play a game in September. So the bigger question is gonna come back to, I think, over time, the biggest question is going to be, can college football and the conferences deal with it being imperfect? And deal with the possibility that some schools can't play, but you're not going to cancel the whole season for, you know, 17 schools. It's different when you're talking about lives and corona and the live people, coronavirus. And I'm willing to stay in this house for as long as I have to save one person's life. College football teams are a little different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that you cancel the entire college football season because 17 programs can't get together and practice and play games. I don't think that would be wise. And the same goes for the NBA, and the same goes for Major League Baseball. If there's 27 Major League Baseball teams that can do this, and there's three that are really struggling, I don't think you cancel the season for the three. You make them financially whole, you say we're sorry, you do what you can, but you play the season, because I think America needs that. And that'll be, I think, one of the bigger questions going forward is, how do you protect these entities? Now, with a Major League Baseball team, maybe you can play them in another city. With a college team, you can't. And so that'll be the thing that I'm watching as the months go on.
And Sam, as we wrap up, too, when you kind of look at – and that, I think you bring up a great point as far as college football. And it was funny when you were talking about the U.S. Open, I started thinking to myself, you know, I think it's in Wingfoot. So the fact that it's in Wingfoot, that's probably even more unlikely that they'll be able to have it there. Thinking of the overall impact, though, of college football with the uncertainty that we know, I know a lot of us are kind of assuming, well, yeah, you probably won't get those spring practices in, but they'll get a chance to get to camp. Fall camp will begin at the end of July and August. Hell, Sam, we don't know that. And I know as we get a little further along, we're going to start having those conversations with people of different conferences of, so what are you guys hearing? And I just don't think any of us are really entertaining that idea right now.
No, I think it's possible that the season gets postponed or pushed back. I would be surprised if it were canceled. I think you have to figure out a way related to how the disease is spreading or isn't spreading, if it can be contained, so on and so forth. Like, it's just so... we don't have the answers right now.
Yeah.
The globe, the world, is working faster on this disease than they've ever worked on any disease ever before. The last pandemic we had was in 1918. And God bless the scientists in 1918, but they don't have the power that we do now. And there's 7 billion people focused on this. And so it's possible that things move more quickly than we realize. I understand that there are timelines that are quoted and frameworks that are quoted. But those timelines and frameworks are based on data that is essentially hypothetical. None of this is hypothetical. So people are going to move really, really fast and really, really well. And I think that's my hope, yeah. You know, that like we're going to move faster than we think we are as it relates to addressing treatment and vaccination. I don't know if it's going to happen in 3 months. It might be 9, it might be 12, but I think people are going to move pretty fast there. As it relates to college football, I think it's going to come down to, you know, whether or not you can navigate the possibility that some schools can't do it. Or do you shorten the schedule? Do you cancel non-conference games? Do you then move all of your conference games into, you know, the spots that the non-conference games lost, shove it out of September, start it in October, no bye weeks for anybody, you play your 9 games, the SEC adds a 9th, maybe you take it down to 8, whatever. But they've got to figure that piece out. Because the thing that we all keep discussing is, well, August 30th, or whenever the season starts, September 6th, doesn't have to be that. You can cut this thing down to 8 games. You can start at October 1. And all the Power 5 teams play 8 games. They all play their conference game. Everybody gets to make a bowl or whatever you want to do. 5-2 gets in the playoff or however you want to play that thing. But having the season, to me, is crucial. I mean, just having the games on TV and people being able to advertise products in those spots for the TV network,
yep,
for the colleges, is crucial. But whatever solution they got to come up with, they have to. And if it's imperfect, you know, from my perspective as, you know, the pundit, then it's imperfect. This is the one year where I think saving the season is paramount to, well, so-and-so and such-and-such school got an unfair advantage for 10 days. This is the year where you just don't worry about that.
Right.
You know, like you got to put that aside. And for what it's worth, I think Nebraska could be one of those schools, because it's isolated, that has an advantage. And then you're going to have some schools like USC or UCLA. They're like, this is fair. You just got to go with it this year and work through it. And hopefully the powers that be can make that, and figure that out, because what the NCAA did, they had to do. They canceled everything. They just wiped it all out. They did that, I think, for public health reasons and to send a message. But if the NCAA tournament had been 4 months away, I don't think they would have done that. I think they would have tried to figure something else out. And indeed, they tried with that 16-team thing. They tried to come up with an idea that would work. College football has to be equally resourceful. If the season gets cut down to 10 or 8 games, so be it. You just got to have a seat.
Sam McCune of the Omaha World Herald. Sam, great stuff as always, my man. Have a great rest of your week. Stay healthy and well, buddy.
Take care. You too.
That is Sam McCune. Just really good stuff there. And that's the thing is, I hope we don't get into this. And I can already see TJ like sweating, because we've talked about this many times. Please do not interrupt college football. But as we get a little further along and we're still kind of in these, at least, more widespread uncertainty, you're definitely going to have these possibilities when it comes to the fall sports. All right, we got more coming up. All right, checking in on the poll that TJ's got up there at AM 590 ESPN Radio. What is your favorite day in sports? If not one of these four, what else? And Bob did have another option. Bob tweets at the DJ's Dugout Inbox. Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, F1 Grand Prix of Monaco, Indy 500, NASCAR Coke 600. Well, Bob, unfortunately, Indy 500 will not be taking place on that weekend, because you will now have what is typically on that Memorial Day weekend being pushed to August 23rd. It was announced earlier today that the Indianapolis 500, the good news is it's not being canceled, but they will push it to August 23rd. The month of May at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, as people have been talking about for that particular event, it's just not going to be feasible to have it during that weekend. And no word right now on August 23rd as far as if they will have that with fans or not. I'm sure they're hopeful that they will. But they are setting the date. It's not canceled. It's postponed to August 23rd for the Indianapolis 500. All right, as I mentioned, coming up at 3 o'clock, a really cool event at the end of the month to help out our healthcare workers with supplies. Adrian Pyle of Creighton Cares. She's a Creighton medical student. Will join us right at 3 o'clock.